Hi everyone, I'm Joel Gould and welcome to the new edition of NRL.com's Pearls Preview Pod. We're coming to you, as we always do, from the QRL studio in Brisbane. Welcome Steve Renoff, our resident expert.
How are you?
I'm very well, Steve, very well. You had a good week with your tips. I think you only missed one. That was the Newcastle-Penrith game.
Yes. Yeah, so but you know, it was another great round of footy. They've got to be pretty proud of their footy at the moment, the NRL, so good second round.
It's great to have the footy back and so much happening, especially in all games, and great to see some of the veterans performing so well. Guys like Robbie Farah, James Maloney, they both really stood up and just showed what game smarts does for a team, having players that are real footballers.
Well, I think Jimmy Maloney was looking for that gamey. The first round wasn't as good as he could play, and it was good to see him come back in the second round.
And Robbie Farah, I think he was involved in four tries with smart kicks, passes. Just a masterful display by Robbie. It really...
What is he, 34, 35? So, you know, he's playing some really good footy. You know, I sort of questioned when he came back sort of thing, but he's done well. He's had a good start to the season.
I really like the look of that West Tigers spine at the moment. It's working a treat. I think Luke Brooks having Marshall and Farah there around him just allows him to do what he needs to do. But it just looks... It looks like a team on the rise, the West Tigers. I know last year they started well and faded, but I can't see that happening this year. I think they're going to go on with it. But we'll come to that soon, Steve, because we're going to look at all eight NRL games that are coming up in round three. First, we're going to talk about St. George Illawarra's trip here to the Brisbane Broncos to play at Suncorp Stadium on Thursday night. Always a game with a lot of tradition associated with the Red V up against the Broncos. First of all, I want to ask you about Tevita Pangai Jr.'s display against the Cowboys last week. 29-10, the Broncos won on the back of... You've watched and played with some of the great Broncos forwards of the past. How does that rate as one of the performances you've seen from an individual?
From an individual, what he did across the park was amazing. And, you know, Joel, we talked about those effort areas that Anthony Seibold was speaking about, and those 1%ers, mate, he put in a fair few of them on Friday night. And it was just really good to see. He got the opportunity to start. He came off the bench the week before, and I was excited when he got the start, and geez, he did some damage out there, and he didn't hold back.
Look, he had a laundry list of every player in the Cowboys side that he wanted to smash, starting with Taumalolo.
Which from a tackle he did become affected. Not that you want anyone to get injured, but he's now out because of a Tevita Pangai tackle, and he just dominated. And I tell you what, he gave Moose McGuire a hurry up a few times as well. I think he targeted poor old McGuire a bit out there.
He did. Josh McGuire did play extremely well. I thought he was one of the best for the Cowboys. So he didn't leave anything in the tank, that's for sure. But Taumalolo, I think he might have done that injury earlier in the tackle, but it wouldn't have helped.
No. As I said, look, doubled him backwards. That was a very dominant display from Tevita. And we all know how he can play, and it was just good to see. Just to have a Bronco forward that'll go out there aggressive and... it was something we haven't seen for a while.
Well, there's no changes to the Brisbane Broncos side that's playing the Dragons. I thought Flegler was outstanding, Sua outstanding off the bench and playing in the middle. And Jack Bird's said after the game it was one of his best games ever that he's played in his career. So,
well, it goes to show, you know, when it comes back to the basic footy that our forwards dominated. It was all talk about the Cowboys forwards and how they're a big pack and they're going to roll Brisbane, and because Brisbane got rolled, you know, in the middle the week before by Melbourne. But the reversal of that middle obviously opened it up, and lo and behold, our halves have better games and our outside backs. It just shows, you know, the tries we scored on the wings and out wide showed we dominated in the middle.
Well, the Dragons are on their way, and of course... They're actually here in Brisbane already, but they have a good record recently against the Broncos. They dominated them last year in the round game early, and then again in the semi-final. And Tarek Sims really exposed them. He's on the edges. He's up against David Fifita. It's going to be a big challenge for young Dave. Corbin Sims has come into the side off the bench. It's his first game against his old club. How do you see this game unfolding? Because we've got both sides are down on forward troops.
Yeah,
Dragons have been a bit off. Their first halves have been okay, but they've faded in the second. Still haven't got their spine working as they would have liked. What's going to happen in this game?
No, I still, out of these two, I still see Brisbane will want to come out and repeat what they did last week, and I think Anthony Seivold had that up. They got a sniff of what it takes to win these games, and I just think out of the two, watching the two, even though we got beaten in the first round, I think we seem to be a bit more. Solid. With the spine and that. So for me, Brisbane to win this one. I think St George, it'll be a tough game. And I know you're a St George supporter, Joel, but I just think we would probably, when you look at the first two rounds, I think Brisbane will come out on top.
Look, I think James Graham, Paul Vaughan.
Yes.
Very important. They're going to certainly be testing these young forwards again. I don't think the Cowboys really did do that, to be honest. I think instead of getting them, the Broncos forwards got them. They lined them up and put them on the back foot. I don't think it's going to happen this time. Yeah. I think the Dragons will come out really in the middle, in particular, looking to make an impact. And look, we know how hard it is when you start getting on a losing streak, especially early on in the year, to turn it round. And so, we're not in that stage yet, but the Dragons have lost two in a row. There's not a man on the planet that played in any football side that's still alive that's lost four in a row and won a premiership. So that's has happened twice.
So they got a lot of motivation.
They don't want to get to that point where they're looking next week at history, they're having to put themselves in maybe a history-making situation where they could go
a negative situation too. They'll be up for it without a doubt.
Mm. Well, I'm tipping the Broncos as well to win the game. Yeah. Obviously, I hope the Dragons can win. I'll let Anthony Seibold hear me say that, but I am a Dragons supporter and I do hope that the side can get its act together. I'm not sold on this spine. I don't like it. I think Ben Hunt said last year Gareth Widdop's the man for him beside him, and he proved that was the case, and I just don't like the way it's configured. I think Hunt and Widdop together is better. So anyway, we'll see how it goes. Ben Hunt said at the airport on Tuesday that it needs to get a lot better, his rapport with Corey Norman. I'd have to agree with that. And he was careful about how he worded it. Look, he said Gareth Widdop's a weapon anywhere you've got him and one of the best players he's ever played with. And I understand that, but I still think his best position is number six.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that, if they go down this weekend, there'll be a quick change in there. It has to be.
Friday night, we've got Raiders versus the Knights. The Canberra Raiders weren't disgraced in that 22-10 loss to the Storm, I didn't think. Their fullback, Charles Nicol-Klokstad, I thought he's playing some really good football at the moment. I was a bit disappointed in the Knights. Nathan Brown talked them up pretty much after their first-round win, but they weren't at their best against the Penrith Panthers, that's for sure. Mm. And at home, they weren't. What did you think of that game, and how do you see this one going?
Yeah, look, I think you're right. They'll probably, in their own right, would be disappointed. I just didn't get the flow on that they wanted. And mind you, Penrith was a different team than what they were the week before. I mean, when you look at those sort of things, Newcastle coming off a pretty good win, and Penrith probably didn't play the week before as well as they should. And as we said, Maloney stood up and led them around, and I think they have probably had a bit more to play for.
How do you see this game going down in Canberra?
It's always going to be a tight one between these two teams. They sort of sit there on that level together. And mind you, I'm really impressed. I think Canberra, as you say, they're playing not bad footy. But I think, in saying that, I think Newcastle will get out with this one. I mean, they got to play a lot better than they did last week, but they had the cattle to do it.
Well, I think the Ponga-Pierce relationship as well is still a work in progress. There's a few changes here for the change with Bateman coming into the second row and Ryan Sutton, his fellow countryman, coming into lock. for the Raiders. I'm tipping the Raiders to win this one.
You're
with the
Newcastle Knights.
Well, fair enough. I think you're right. It's going to be a really close game, that one. There's no doubt about that. Well, a real blockbuster looming here on Friday night at ANZ Stadium, the Eels versus the Roosters. How good was Blake Ferguson last week? Tick under 300 metres in that 36-16 win over the Canterbury Bulldogs. Clint Gutherson showing himself to be a real leader. And I love the forwards, Paulo, Lane, Manor, David Gower and Kane Evans, all running for 100 metres or more. Canterbury got out of the blocks, but the Eels rounded it up pretty quick.
Oh, they did, and I was really impressed with the way they're playing their footy, the Eels. And as you said, you know, with Blake Ferguson, he's going to go down already. You know, he's been the best signing, you know, the shift of players that has gone to a new club. And just really impressed with his work rate, and he's in there and he's motivated. You know, he wants the ball in his hand. And I think, you know, that, as you say, that leads to a lot of metres gained, but really impressed with their middle as well. Like you said, good to see Paulo back, and he's a big unit. And he, when you have a big unit like that, he's taken two or three players with him at once, and you know, he's taken bodies. But I love the way they're playing Parramatta. It's exciting footy. Brad Arthur's doing a great job with them. Probably, when you go back to say last season, a very much underperformed team with the group they had. You know, and it's not too different. I mean, there are a few different new players there, but they're playing some good footy.
Well, they're up against a Roosters side that's coming off a 26-18 win over Manly. There was a lot to like about the. I know that scoreline looks like the game was a lot closer than it actually was. I mean, the Roosters let Manly get away with a few tries in that second half, but they well and truly wrapped the game up by then. This is going to be a big test for the Eels pack up against a Roosters forward pack as good as any in the comp.
Yes.
Jared Waerea-Hargreaves, how good's he?
Oh.
He was outstanding last week. I think he ran for over 230 metres and made 43 tackles. And look, stats, that just shows you what your eyes saw, which was this guy, you know, wants to get involved in everything. He was brilliant. And Luke Keary on the back of that, four try assists without Cooper Cronk, who's back for this game.
Yeah.
Cooper Cronk, he's back in, and so is the hooker, and of course, as well. So that's going to make a big difference, I think.
Yeah,
to the Roosters side, only going to strengthen it against the Eels. So they've got it with Jake Friend. Sorry, I had a mental blank there. Jake Friend back at hooker. How's this going to go? Massive test for
Look, it's going to be a massive test for the Eels, as you say. They're coming up, obviously coming up against the Premiers. They got their players back. I'm going to back the Roosters here. Mm. I still think it's going to be tight. And, you know, Blake Ferguson's coming up against his old team, so he's going to have a bit of a reception going on. And but he'll be pumped for it. So, look, tight match, but the Roosters for me.
Yes, I'm tipping the Roosters here to win this game. I just think they're warming up. They're not playing as well as they can, are they?
No.
Let's face it. And let's face it, they didn't start last year and even play even through the rounds like a side where you said, this team's definitely going to win the comp.
Yeah, that'll... Yeah.
But you always feel with them like there's another gear somewhere.
Yeah.
And they've already lost one game. They didn't play well against South Sydney in the first match, so I think they'll be ready to back up that win over Manly at ANZ Stadium. Speaking of Manly, they're taking that home game across to Christchurch Stadium, which is going to be a very emotional occasion, a very meaningful occasion,
and
an occasion which we hope can lift the spirits of the people in Christchurch who've been through so much with the terrorist attack.
It's great, good on Manly and the NRL for doing that. I mean, it's obviously Manly's taking their home ground advantage over there. That's great. I think it's well done.
It is. Well, it was already scheduled to be there, I believe. So it's Manly against the Warriors in Christchurch. Tom Trbojevic returns for Manly. Mm-hmm. Big gain. And Adam Fanua-Blake, who was their best forward in the first round loss to West Tigers, he's back in the side as well. I was disappointed in the Warriors last week. They looked like they were in the game, and then all of a sudden they were out of the game, and it was a typical Warriors flipping from a very good performance to a very poor one. How do you see this game going?
Look, there's going to be obviously going to be a lot of emotion in this. But you know, look, Manly's been pretty good, and they got Tom Dvorovic back. Manly have done pretty well over there over the years, and obviously we've had a lot of Kiwi players that have played for Manly. But I think with him back, and Manly wasn't too far. I know they got well beaten last week, but I was a bit disappointed in the Warriors. So for me, I reckon Manly go there and get their win.
Yeah, I think the Manly will win the game as well.
Yeah.
I really do. I think Dez is going to get this side performing. We saw in the second half how good they can play.
Yeah.
Cherry Evans, once again, playing off the cuff a bit, but he was very, very dangerous down that right side. I'm just a bit concerned about the Warriors, really. I didn't think they were going to have a great season, and their round one performance was against Canterbury, after all.
Yeah.
So,
not that we want to be heavy-handed on Canterbury.
We don't, but we're not seeing a Warriors side yet that's convincing me anyway that they're capable of beating a Manly side with the two brothers together. And I thought Jake was outstanding last week for Manly in a beaten side, as he always is.
Get,
the two of those guys together, how
makes
dangerous?
Makes a big difference, because you just see that they're footy players, and Tom coming in around those players, he creates something from nothing. Well, they virtually both do in their specific areas, and to have Tom back there, it's just going to make a big difference, I think, to their back line and with the way they do things.
Mm. It's great to see the Broncos too visiting an Islamic school in Brisbane this week.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, the boys were there, and that looked like both parties enjoyed that, and just showing their respect for the Muslim community, which is great.
Mm. Well, just to clarify what I meant there when I said a terrorist state, because it was a right wing, a person inspired by right wing ideologies that did that.
Yes.
Just to be clear on that. That's something that's been really well dealt with, I think, by the New Zealand Prime Minister. She's really stood up and shown what leadership really is, I think.
Exactly.
From a politician who's putting it's not rhetoric with her. It's real.
It comes from the heart, mate.
It does, and she's trying to do her best to change society, and showing leadership in doing that as well.
There should be a few people over here who take note.
Yes, exactly. Okay, we move on to Penrith v Storm. What a game this promises to be.
Yeah.
Maloney, it was brilliant, wasn't he, against the Knights. His desperation, his organisation. It's going to be a really good battle between him and Nathan Cleary and the halves for the Storm.
There's
with Munster Brodie Croft. Maloney's so different to Munster in every single way, but great players in their own right. It's going to be a fascinating battle.
Oh, it's going to be great. And, the forward packs is obviously going to be a big tussle in the middle. They've both got some great forward pack. For me, I just see Melbourne going along their way. They'll be there doing their thing, what they do every week. But as you say, excited about what's going to happen in the middle, obviously around the halves. Once again, this is going to come back to two big forward packs that are going to try and dominate to loosen it up. But when you see what Melbourne's been doing, I think they'll go ahead and do the same to Penrith, and they'll get away with this one.
Well, we've got Test and Origin winger Josh Mansour is returning from a shoulder injury for the Panthers, which is a big one. Regan Campbell-Gillard's named a start after coming off the bench. And Frank Winterstein's moving from the interchange to the starting side to replace Ozai Eo. So there's a few changes there for them. No changes to the Storm side that took down Canberra last week. And we saw Suliasi Vunivalu scoring three tries down there. That was a really good performance, I thought, by him as well. He's a beast.
He's a machine.
He's a beast. He knows how to score tries, doesn't he?
Well, they seem to find these wingers that do, don't they, Melbourne? That's what I mean. They got right across the park, and they don't have the big names, but geez, they can keep pulling these Fijian wingers out, and they know how to find the try line. And I just think what Craig Bellamy does there, and I mean, they're still fresh. They're still, it's only the third round. I just think they're full of beans, and they'll come out and do it again.
Well, that game's on Saturday night, but I missed a game there in between the game that we should have spoken about first, and that's the Cowboys versus the Sharks at Townsville. Paul Green has really rung the changes here. O'Neill and Opacic dumped. We've got Hampton into the centres, Kahu to centre, Tamari Martin to fullback, Hess to start for the injured Jason Taumalolo, who's out for 6 to 10 weeks with a medial, and Corey Jensen on the bench. We've seen a change here in Paul Green. He's lost patience very quickly with this team. With underperforming players in the team, and he's made changes. We've seen him in the past stick solid.
He did.
He's gone bang.
And he sent in a message. That would have hurt. That would have cut losing here last week, obviously. And then to do the change without Taumalolo, they don't have the new JT. They're going to struggle. I'm not sure. How this will go, but. I don't think the Cowboys will get up with it, even being at home on Saturday. I think they might struggle.
Well, I like the look of the Sharks.
Yeah,
it was at Shark Park. It was against the Titans, who had a lot of ball, threw a lot at them, and the Sharks they're one of those calm teams. Okay, the Titans had the ball. Okay, you got the ball. We'll stop you from scoring. They did, and then they
scored. Well, Joel, I think they're going to make me eat my words, because I didn't have them in my top eight this year, the Sharks, and I think I just didn't think about the team they had there, but they're just going about their business like they've always done the last couple of years, and they're doing it really well. So you got to give it to the Sharks, but I think the Sharks will roll the Cowboys.
Yeah, I thought Sean Johnson started to look like
He's going to take a little while to fit in, you know.
Matt Moylan, fantastic again. Yeah. Like he really did put on a show, and the winger Sione Katoa, he can motor. He scored 2 tries. This is a game which the Cowboys can't afford to lose, Steve, we've seen in the past they're slow starters. They've never hosted a prelim final. And the reason for that is because of what happens early on in the year. They never get in a position. They never get themselves in a position to be in that top two or top four a lot of the time. Although we've seen that change in recent times, except for last year. But they're notoriously slow starters. They lost their first 3 in 15 when they won the comp, but they don't have that team back from that situation. So, are you a bit concerned about what you've seen so far from the Cowboys?
Yeah, I am, mate. They come into the game last week and it was all about, Taumalolo, and he's going to run right, and he's gone now, possibly 6 weeks. So they're really going to miss him, I think. And, I don't know that they're going to... A lot of people have talked them up, but there's been a lot of experts who said, they're not too sure about the Cowboys as well. And I sort of sit in that field this year. I'd like to see him in the eight. I think they will be, but they're not. I just think they don't have that buzz around them like they did a couple of years back.
Yeah, what concerned me was when Ben Barber became no longer part of the squad after he was sacked, as we know, unfortunately. For the Cowboys, that really saw them lose a real spark at the back, and real energy that he was going to bring. Kyle Felt has had a groin injury, so he's been out of action. He's one of their more dominant backs.
Yes, he is.
So the side that they were planning and training to run with in that back three in particular, which was going to give them so much impetus, they just don't have. I don't like the look of their back line.
Yeah,
I really don't. I understand why Paul Green's made these changes. I'm not sold on the back line at all, and I'm not. One thing I am really happy to see is Jake Clifford wearing the number 6 jersey. I think it's a far better option at 5'8".
Yes,
with Morgan, he showed that last year. I think he's one of the best young halves in the game. So Greeny's pulled the right rein there.
Well, I think so, and I think he's trying to. I mean, he really wants to find this combination that'll work for him, and look, that's okay. I mean, JT's gone, and they really got to find that going forward. And as you said, they lost Barber, and so it's a readjustment pretty early for the Cowboys.
I'm tipping the Sharks to win this game as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I just can't see the Cowboys winning that one against. If the Sharks play like they can, and did last weekend, they're going to be.
Yeah.
A real handful. So that game's on Saturday afternoon, and we move now on to the Sunday's football, where we've got the West Tigers up against the Bulldogs. I'll throw a stat at you, Steve. The Bulldogs lead the comp in completion rates, 83%. What does that tell us about the game and about football? What does it tell you?
That, and it's once again, this is what I go through with this Canterbury team. They can't find the line. You know, they just struggle. They lead the comp and completion on the completion rate, but why can't they find the try line? I've been saying this for a couple of years. They just seem to get to that area, and it's just like, I don't know if panic sets in or they got no constructive play when it comes to, you know, points win your games, tries win your games, and they're just struggling to get over the line, Joel.
They are struggling. They started well against the Eels, but look, Dean Pay has swung the axe here. He's brought in Nick Meaney, back rower Corey Harawira-Naira, and winger Jaden Akunbor have all been promoted to start. They've got Will Hopewadeo moving to the centres. Reece Martin, Chris Smith, and Ogden, new faces on the bench. So it's a real sweeping. He said, "I've had enough of this."
Yes.
And we're going to change it. We're going to fix it. And he's up against a West Tigers side that's named the same 17. And with those players we mentioned earlier in the spine in such good form, I just think the West Tigers could carve them to shreds.
It's at
Campbelltown too. So yeah. I was thinking, it's at Bulldogs, anywhere there's much love for the Bulldogs.
No, I'm going to say, I reckon the Tigers will do exactly that. They'll come out and just tear this team apart. And because once again, they just need to change it up in their attack. They don't have it. I mean, they obviously set themselves around this completion stuff, but there's no creativity, mate. And so they really need to find that somewhere. But for me, the Tigers will win this one pretty easily.
The final game we've got of the week, Steve, is the Rabbitohs. Top of the table they are, as far as points go at least, equal. Hosting the Titans, the most disappointing team for me, because I really thought the Titans were going to offer something this year. But I will say this, I don't think they're really going to fire until they get the halves they need.
Yes.
And that's Taylor and Roberts playing together. At the moment it's Brimson and Jax. Once again, the Titans had a lot of ball against the Cronulla in their end, but they just couldn't do anything with it in their loss. The Rabbitohs just playing sensational rugby league. Like Wayne, we spoke at the start of the year about this. Wayne's just got a little bit of Man of Magic dust still left in his satchel, and he's sprinkling it on them. What have you made of South Sydney so far?
Oh, look, they've been great. And I've been in contact with Wayne around this, and I just said to him, "Mate, gee, they look good." And he says that, and he says they're just going out to play footy.
That's enjoying true. Their football,
and then enjoying their footy. Yeah, and he said it's great that to be there, and he's with the start of the season. He's created a bit of a buzz around the team, and they'd be totally different to what they would have had with Anthony, the Rabbits. But they seem to be enjoying it. I mean, it always shows out in the footy field, doesn't it? And Wayne, as you say, he's got that something about him that he can bring that team, and it's totally different to what Anthony Seibold would have brought. But he's got this team together, and I actually enjoy watching them play. For me, unfortunately for the Titans, I am a little bit disappointed in them. Look, they are struggling around the halves. I did watch the two halves and AJ Brinson
and Jackson.
Yeah, and they just struggled. There was, I noticed Brimson was getting caught out when they were in their tag zone, but they'll push it up on him very quickly, gave him no time. They didn't adjust to that. I noticed that. So he got taken out of play a fair bit, or caught with the ball. So there was nothing happening on the outside of him to get over the line. So, I think the Rabbits will dominate this match, definitely.
Do you think the Joy Arrow was enormous on a beaten team?
What a player in a beaten team. It was 299 metres, something he got. They couldn't quite give him that metre for the 300 metres, I think it was. But anyway, he dominated. And every time he got the ball, and he was making breaks. And once again, the Titans didn't capitalise on that. That's where you want, when you get a forward like Arrow making a break like he was doing. He was doing it all game. You need those halves there ready to go. To back up from that run with some attack, but just wasn't there for the Titans.
How do you see this game going?
Well, I think the Rabbits will dominate this match big time. And it's unfortunate to say, because I really want the Titans to go well, but I just can't see it with them at the moment.
I just love the way that their halves are playing.
Yeah.
I see a bit more freedom. in the way they're playing the game, especially Reynolds.
Yeah.
He was good anyway. He was a very good player, but he's just gone to another level in the first two rounds. And well, Wayne's big, as you know, Steve, from playing under him. Early in the season, he loves to bank competition points, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because I imagine this team's going to have some Origin. They're going to miss some players to Origin, like Gagai, Inglis, as he's the captain of Queensland, of course. Cameron Murray must be in with some sort of a chance as well. Damien Cook. So what's Wayne's philosophy on early season points?
Yeah, it is.
Points?
You know, he's obviously had these guys prepped, so you want to rally up as many points as you can, especially if you've got, as you say, you're going to have teams around, players around Origin coming out. So, you know, if you're going to, you know, you sort of allow for that one or two losses during that period, and they used to do, but obviously we used to have 6 to 8 players missing in the Broncos team at any given time around that Origin series.
Sometimes more.
Yeah, so we really had to bank the points up to just to get through that Origin period. And not only that, then you got to come out the other side with a lot of battered bodies and try and kick in for the second half of the season.
So there'll be no foot off the pedal here, that's for sure. I don't think. No. Look, one thing I will say for the Titans is, and we've seen this with them a few times in the past, quite a few times, it's seemed to lift. Well, this is a game where no one's rating them, and it wouldn't surprise me if they really give South Sydney a run for their money.
Oh, I hope they do. I really do.
Because I can see that happening. Yeah. I don't think the Titans forwards would be very impressed with the way they play as a collective.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they weren't bad, but look, they look at Jai Arrow and think, well, why can't we do that? They need to work together a bit better than they have been.
Yeah.
But they're capable. There's some really good players in that team, and it wouldn't surprise me if they come out and they really give South a run.
Yeah.
We saw South respond well last week when they were behind against the Dragons. They came back beautifully in the second half.
Yeah, they did.
Sam Burgess, he's one of the best forwards I've seen in recent times.
Oh, he is.
He's a dominant character, isn't he?
He's dominant, and he demands respect out there. And, you know, he plays it hard. You know, and I love that about him, that Sam Burgess. And, you know, that's what you want in a team, though. You want a leader like that, and, you know, they're fortunate to have him.
Yeah, I'm sure Wayne will make sure that there's no complacency in this South Sydney side ahead of this game, because it is a danger game for them, because we're all expecting them to blow the Titans off the park. I can see it not going that way, but I will tip South Sydney to win, that's for certain, even if they're behind somehow at half time. Okay, well, thanks very much, Steve, for your thoughts today and looking ahead to the round. We've got other podcasts on NRL.com. We've got Fantasy on Tuesdays with Chris Kennedy and Dominic Brock. On Thursdays with the Late Mail crew. Plus, don't forget the broader game with Katie Brown and Alicia Newton each Thursday morning. The Power Wow with Sow Wow on Fridays, and the Sunday session each Sunday night with Chris Kennedy and Craig Wing, who wrap up the round that was. Steve, we'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Joel.